Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Today is May 27th, 2022. This weekend here in the U.S. is Memorial Day weekend. Super excited. Long weekend coming up. Very rare opportunity to take some time off, especially if you're in sales, in business. Feels like there's never enough time. And it's one of those opportunities where basically get some time away. This is the weekly live Authentic Persuasion training session. My name is Jason Cutter with Cutter Consulting Group. This is session number 33. So glad that you're here to join in. No matter where you're watching, just looking at it right now, it looks like this might not be happening live on LinkedIn. So if you're watching this on LinkedIn, it is probably the replay. So welcome to that. Otherwise, you might be catching this live on Facebook, on YouTube, catching the audio only on the podcast, on the Authentic Persuasion Show. Depending on where you're watching it, make sure to check out the other things. If you want to see this on video, you want to check out all the things that I'm posting, go to YouTube, search Jason Cutter, find the channel. It's really easy. Subscribe, turn on the notifications. Make sure you do that on LinkedIn as well, because I'm putting a lot of content on LinkedIn and on YouTube. And then also on Instagram, you can find me as well on there. I post a lot. And then what I'm really excited about coming up soon is I am getting ready to launch what will be season 6 within the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. So longtime listeners can remember when it started out as the Sales Experience Podcast, and then I rebranded it and renamed it when Selling with Authentic Persuasion came out in 2020. And then I've had some seasons and taken some pauses and then kind of revamped things. And so I've got a new season, a new format, new episodes, and new style that I'm going for. Anybody who knows me and has been a longtime listener or follower knows that I'm a little crazy at times. And so I'm going back to a 5-day a week podcast, but some of them are going to be short episodes, little bite-sized tips and ways to help you in your sales or leadership career. And then also guest interviews that are actually going to be two parts over 2 days. And then the replays from these sessions that are going to be coming out on Mondays like they have been. So I'm really excited to kind of dive back into that. It's many times where I've gone into the podcast, do it for a season, take a break, step back. How do I make this more valuable? How do I make this more effective, more fun for everyone involved, including myself, and then come out swinging in a new season? So that's coming up. My plan is in 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. So make sure if you're not subscribed to it, go on to whatever podcast player you use or download a podcast player. There's so many out there. It doesn't have to just be iTunes. There's a ton of them out there where you can find it. Subscribe, turn on the notifications. That way you can get all of the podcast episodes, especially when they come out. And if you're looking for something to listen to, I think we're at 430 episodes on that one podcast. Plus I have the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. Plus I have the one I did with my friend Oliver Katt, the Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Katt. So it's more than enough podcast to listen to, more than enough content you want to dive into. Today, what we're going to do is going to continue this focus on Q&A. So one of the things that I love doing more than anything, it's a part of my mission,
is helping facilitate transformation in three ways. One is enabling and encouraging light bulb moments. The second one is helping the underdog win their game, not the game, not my game, not anyone else's game, but their game. And then also to leave people better than I found them. And a lot of times I focus on training. One of my big goals is to help create, enable, and encourage over 1 million authentic persuaders in the world because of what that would do for sales, for all of us as consumers, if we knew that there was a trusted ally guide as a sales professional waiting to help us when we go into situations as a customer. That would be amazing. And that's not really the case. Some scenarios, yes. Some scenarios, no. And it feels very scary and you don't know what's going to happen. And you got to keep your guard up. And that's what I want to eliminate. And so that's why I do this. Now, a lot of times I'm doing some training. I'm doing some more lectures, seminar kind of mode where I'm sharing information. You're taking notes, details. But what I found is I love to mix it up at times because I get so many questions and I encounter so many questions when I'm doing training and workshops for my clients. I always leave time at the end of every session for questions. So people can say, all right, you're telling me this, but how do I use this in my business? How do I use this in my sales conversations? Here's what I'm actually struggling. Like, this is great. You're telling me about building rapport and empathy and then creating trust, but here's what I'm struggling with. X, Y, and Z. And then we really dive into what helps somebody individually. And so that's what I'm doing. It's what I've been doing for the last few sessions here. What I'm going to focus on today is technically part four. Last time it was for leaders. So session 32 was for leaders specifically. If you haven't checked that out, if you're a sales leader of any type, you could be an owner, sales manager, anything in between, you're leading some salespeople in some capacity, make sure to check that out because it's definitely applicable. There's some great stuff in there as far as the kind of questions that come up from leaders, for leaders, by business owners, and so on. Now, today we're going to get back to salespeople and we're going to focus on authentic persuasion Q&A. And if you're curious about what authentic persuasion is, it might sound catchy or you think like that's not going to be effective. That doesn't sound like that would be convincing or strong enough. And I need more tactics. Check out Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. It's available on Amazon hardcover. It's available as Amazon Kindle. Audible is on there as well. And if you'd like a copy of it, you can actually just cover the shipping and handling. I will send you a signed copy of it. Just email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I'll send that out to you. And that'll give you a good framework for what it means to sell with authentic persuasion, why it's so important for you, and what it means to translate into closing more deals and making more money, which is really the goal. But doing it in a way that serves your potential customers, gives them the sales experience that they're looking for and craving and that your competitors are absolutely not doing, I promise. And then it's also helping you feel good about what you're doing as a professional because you know you're doing the right thing for them and for yourself. It's not about win-lose. It's not about lose-win. It's about win-win. And when you're doing that, it's a totally different game. Sales becomes something completely different than what most people think sales is about or what it requires, what it takes to win. Totally changes it, totally different. So let's dive into some Q&A, some questions that I have received regarding authentic persuasion, sales, closing more deals, overcoming mindset issues, strategy issues, and so on. So I'm going to read this first one off. All right. Question number one, I think I have been an order taker. And I love this. I love it when somebody kind of realizes it. I think I have been an order taker and let my clients control the conversation and process. And now that they're clients, they treat me like I should be on demand and that I work for them. Is there anything I can do to change that? So giving a little more basis around this, because this question came from somebody who's in a sales role that then also has to do some client management, account management type thing, where it's like not just selling it, handing it off and running away from this bomb with the pin pulled out of it, waiting for it to explode, which is what many salespeople do, where they're focused on themselves. They only care about themselves. And so many business owners I talk to at the end of the day, especially when they look at their bottom line numbers, they're frustrated by this. Customer service teams are frustrated by that. I was on a podcast yesterday, which is customer service, customer experience focused. And it's the bane of most customer service people's lives, dealing with what sales is not setting up appropriately and running away. That's a different topic for another day. This specifically is when you're selling something and you're helping someone enroll into a program of some type. And then you have to stay engaged with them, involved with them, still have some kind of relationship with them, support them. Maybe sometimes it's just to get them onboarded. You have to help them get onboarded and then they'll go over to another department, but you're still engaged. If you're not careful, and this is the basis of this question, which is essentially saying, I'm an order taker, so I'm basically letting people walk all over me, or they're the ones who are really in charge. And then what happens is once they become a client, they're demanding, or they're expecting a lot, or they feel like they're in charge and I'm there to serve them. And there's always a balance with sales. Sales is service. When you're doing it in the best way with the best intentions, in my feelings and experience, it's service. So I'm helping you, and doesn't mean I'm not going to win. Doesn't mean I shouldn't get paid. When you're helping people and you're providing value, you should be getting paid. And the more value you provide, the more you should be getting paid. So this isn't about like doing service and it's like, I'm going to do this for you and, you know, at my own expense. No, absolutely not. But fundamentally, it should be about service. I'm here to serve you and help you get what you want, but that doesn't mean you own me. The problem is a lot of times in sales situations, what I see when I listen to calls and companies bring me in, is I see a lot of times where salespeople are on one end of the spectrum or the other. In this case here, with the question that was asked, somebody is more on the order taker side, which is, here's all the information. I would like you to sign up, you know, and that person, the customer, feels like they're in control driving the bus, they're making the decision, and they basically can just push around that salesperson, the account manager, the company, and so on, right? They basically feel like they're the ones driving the bus. And that's not the way you want it to be. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, which I see a lot as well, is the salesperson that's using manipulation to get their way to close the deal. And then what happens is that also sets a client up for failure, or for being high maintenance, or being drama, or being difficult, or feeling like they're in charge. Let me give you an example. And I mention this all the time. So if this sounds familiar, please, hopefully this sinks in with somebody out there, is the scenario where it's getting to be the end of the month, right? Let's say right now it's Friday the 27th. We technically have in the US, we have two business days left. We have today and then we have Tuesday before the end of the month. It's getting to the end of the month. Classic, especially in B2B sales, is, hey, if you sign up before Tuesday, before the end of the month, and the end of the quarter is even worse, if you sign up before the end of the month, we'll throw in X, Y, and Z, or I'll give you 10% off, or we'll do this, right? Or if you show up for a demo or an appointment, we'll give you this, or we'll pay you that, right? That is manipulation, right? There's no doubt about that. You can't argue that. You are manipulating somebody, or trying to manipulate somebody, to take action for your timeline based on your needs, not their timeline and their needs. Because if they were ready to sign up by Tuesday before the end of the month, you wouldn't need to give them a discount. Now, you might do it just to help them or because you want them to feel valued. That's something different, but you shouldn't need to do that. If you need to move people over the finish line, if you need to push deals over that finish line by offering discounts, badgering them, giving them some kind of deal, putting pressure on them, then you're manipulating. That's just the way it is. And that doesn't work, not long-term. I promise those deals are not as valuable and effective to the company. I promise, because I've done the research, that they don't stay as long. And then the other thing is now that person feels like they own you. You bribed them. You gave them a deal. Basically, they met your terms. They did it for you. They agreed to doing it for you. And then now they feel like they own you and they are going to be a high maintenance, difficult client. And you're going to have to continue to bribe and beg and keep them in the process all the time. right? And I won't go into it because I want to get through all these questions today. But if you think about in a relationship, if you want to get someone to date you and you basically bribe them, say, hey, I will take you out for a nice dinner. I will buy you some jewelry and I'm going to do this if you go out on a date with me. What expectation is that setting? And then what are they going to expect every single time that you want something from them, want to go out, want to do this or that? They're just going to expect that to keep going. And that makes it difficult. If you're on the order taker end, like this, with this question and this particular individual, then it's also difficult because they're walking all over you as a client. And so what do you do? Well, what's really difficult is you've already set that expectation. It's really tough to change that. It's really tough to change and pivot a relationship that's already started, business or professional or personal. It's tough to shift that relationship once it started and reset the expectations. You can do it. You have to have a conversation. You have to set new boundaries. You have to tell them, hey, here's how this is going to work moving forward. I'm going to respond like this. Here's the timeline. Here's how I often respond. Here's what you need to do. Here's what we need to do. The tough part with that is you have to be, if you do that mentally, physically, financially, you have to be willing to bear the cost, which means that person might not want to be a part of this anymore. They might not agree to these new terms, these new expectations, and they might no longer want to be a client and they might cancel with you. So then you always have to weigh, is that worth it? Or do you want a difficult client? Is that worth it, right? Which one's best? Moving forward, the best thing you can do is in all new sales relationships, when you're having these conversations, is to set them up properly, to set them up with the right expectation, the right framework about your availability, about what you're willing to do, what the company's going to do, what they need to do, what the expectation for them, and setting all those expectations. One of the biggest things I see that's always an indicator, like it's one of the main indicators of an order taker when I listen to calls or I sit in on meetings or I watch their sales processes, is they don't set the expectations fully about what's involved as a customer. Mostly because they're afraid of not closing that deal. They don't want to deal with it now. They're hoping that it'll just close. They don't want to have to answer those questions. They don't want to lose the deal because they mentioned too much. And so they underset the expectations, which then leads to a difficult client or a bad onboarding or a bad sales and customer experience. And here's the thing, is there are always expectations that have to be set with every client becoming a customer in anything, especially a service, especially a considered purchase. So if you're signing someone up for debt relief because they're a consumer or they're a business and they need a new marketing platform, there is an expectation who's got to do what and when, and there's always trade-offs. Either it's a certain price, and it's a big price, but it'll be easy, or it's a lower price and there's going to be more work involved. Whatever that is, make sure you're setting the right expectation. If you underset the expectations of what actually happens when someone becomes a client, you are setting you and the company and the client up for failure, right? It's just not going to work. And then you're going to get even more high maintenance. So do not be afraid. A professional will set the right expectations. I don't mean make it sound really scary. You don't want to go over the top, but if there's something you're afraid to tell somebody about what happens once they become a client, you really need to inspect within yourself why that is. Why are you so afraid of sharing that? And if it's something they really need to know, if that will help them become a better client, which will help them long-term, right? Think about, and it's kind of an extreme, crazy example, but think about all these like drug ads you see on TV or you hear wherever, right? Is nowadays, just with the legal disclaimers that are required, it's like, you know, sometimes 20-second ad and then like 20 seconds of like side effects and crazy warnings, right? Because there's always a trade-off. You're going to get this benefit, but there's going to be this cost, right? Financially, maybe you have to, like in business, like you have to sign a contract, you have to do this. There's always a trade-off. And now you don't want to be that extreme, but people are expecting trade-offs. You want to make sure you set those expectations and they will become a better client. Again, it's hard to reset expectations once they're already a client, but for all new relationships, new conversations, remember, you're the professional. You're there to help them. I talk about this a lot. Remember, your job is also not to be the hero coming in to save the day. You're the one that's the guide. You're the one that's the leader in the conversation. I wrote a chapter in Selling with Authentic Persuasion about being a leader in sales. And I don't mean a sales leader, not a manager, not a supervisor, not a VP of sales. I mean, being a leader in sales of the sales process of your prospect, being the leader that's setting the tone and pulling them with you. Instead of you pushing them across the finish line, you should be pulling them up the mountain as their guide, which I've talked about a lot. So remember that, shift your mindset, your focus around that. If you're struggling with a lot of client related stuff, or you just think, oh my gosh, I think I might be an order taker. All right. Question number two. So many times when I get to the price part of the discussion, it doesn't go well. I hesitate, worried they won't like the price. What can I do to get better at that? All right. So there's a lot to this. And obviously, everybody who's selling things, like whatever it is that you're selling, your price is going to be different. Maybe you have a varied level of prices, like you have different programs, different packages. Maybe it's on a sliding scale. Maybe it's relative to the work that's being done. I've seen so many different things. Maybe it's just one price. Here's the catalog price. Everyone gets this one price. And then it's just, that's it. Here's the thing is, if you get to the price portion and it usually doesn't go well, you always want to start by looking at yourself. The reason why I say that is because unless you're in a brand new business that's just starting out and you're the first and only salesperson selling something the market has never seen in a way that has never been done before at a price point that no one has ever seen, that's a different category, right? That's you trying to find market fit and ensuring that there is a need and there is enough value for the price. So except for that small category of trailblazers out there in the sales world, and those are mostly founders who are just doing it on their own and trying to identify the best price and fit. For everyone else, that business has been selling for some length of time. They believe that that's the value. They understand that people are willing to pay for that. Hopefully they know what they're doing. And if you are struggling with the price portion of the conversation, that's on you. Now, this sounds harsh. Most people don't like to hear it. Most people, and it's not even just in this day and age, this is just human nature. The ego part of us doesn't like us to be at fault for things. And so when I tell people that's on you, it triggers people. Sometimes they get defensive. They put those barriers up. I say it with love and kindness and support. I want you to identify and understand that it's probably you that's getting in the way of this price discussion because, and what's great about this is then you can work around that. You can work through that. You can figure out a way to handle that if possible. So one thing I would recommend is if you have issues with price or some other objection that comes up where you're just like, I can never get past X, Y, and Z, email me right now, or as soon as you're done watching this, email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. So jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And in the email, mention the Overcoming Objections ebook. And the reason why I say that, it's not just about overcoming objections and how to do it, what the strategy is. Half of that ebook is actually overcoming your own internal objections. There's something in the way where you don't believe in that price. Now, sometimes what happens is you're selling something. Let's say, and let me just give you a good example. I had a client a few years ago, higher end retail custom furniture stores, right? A chain of 9 different stores. And so not extreme crazy high end, but definitely pricey. One of the problems that they had was a lot of entry-level people in sales go into furniture sales, into retail. This is pre-pandemic and early pandemic. And so imagine this, you know, 18, 19, 20, early 20s person getting into furniture sales, selling a $10,000 couch or a $20,000 bedroom set. And they cannot imagine spending $10,000 on a couch. They might even still be living at home, which means they maybe haven't bought any furniture on their own and they can't imagine it. One of the challenges that comes up is that if you don't believe in it, if you can't understand it, if you could never imagine somebody doing it, I've heard people say those kind of phrases, right? I could never imagine anyone paying for this. If that's what you're saying out loud, what are you thinking in your mind? And then what happens, and this is why that ebook is so important, so check that out, email me for that, is what happens is when you have these discussions, when you get to things like price, you will handle it in a way that will sabotage your effectiveness when it comes to price. And I won't go into detail. The ebook does a great job of covering that. But here's the thing. It's something that you're doing. It's some limitation. It's some fear that you have. Also, what happens at times is even if you felt good about it in the beginning, you say the price. A lot of times what happens in sales is you lose a deal or get some pushback because of some point in the process. Price, terms, contract, whatever that might be. And now all of a sudden you have like this kind of PTSD-ish feeling, right? Like you touched the stove, it burnt, that sucked, don't want to do that again. Now when you get towards price, it's like, oh, I lost the last two deals because of price. And now you're entering it hesitating and you're creating this issue inside of yourself that's then manifesting with not being able to get past it or not even having a good discussion around it. And again, it's not price. It's never price, actually. It's value because people will pay money for things as long as they think it's valuable. And one example, if you ever want to think about it, is if my goal is to get from point A to point B and I want to do it by driving a car, do I need to spend $100,000 on a car? Or could I spend $500 on a car or $2,000 on a car, right? If the goal is to get from point A to point B and that's it, then I just need anything, maybe even a bicycle. Like, why not? But that's not why people buy more expensive cars or pick the car that they pick. Some of it's utility, but some of it's value. Some of it's all the things they needed to do, reliability, safety, prestige, their own ego, their own excitement and enjoyment, right? You know, some people really enjoy driving, so they want to get a more expensive or faster or fancier or something car because it just makes them happy. I bought a car, actually my first new car last year. I've always bought used cars, but my first new car, and I bought it purely for me. Every time I get in it, it makes me smile and laugh. My girlfriend thinks it's funny because sometimes I'm just like giggling while I'm driving because it just makes me happy. I just enjoy driving. I don't care about anybody else. I'm not doing it for anyone else. I just enjoy it. And so there's different things. Like, why would somebody pay? It's that value to that person. It's never, ever about price. It's always about value. So if you're having issues with the price discussion, if you're having issues with anything where you're just hitting this roadblock, email me again, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Mention the Overcoming Objections ebook. I'll send that to you. And then there's also a checklist, a worksheet that you can use to try to figure that out and then build some good systems and kind of scripting in place to help you overcome that. So that's that one. All right. Question number three, I feel like I hesitate to pick up the phone and make calls, but I know that if I don't, I won't succeed. Maybe sales isn't for me. So one of the things that happens is a lot of people in sales and maybe in life, except for some personality groups, which I won't go into a lot of the details, breaking it all down, most people have a hesitation when it comes to picking up the phone, reaching out to people, especially if you're in your sales, you know it's the one thing that you should be doing. That's why you're there. And then there's this hesitation, right? You have this like phone reluctance, this calling reluctance, instead of a calling excitement, instead of a calling anticipation where you're like, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see what happens. It's this hesitation, this reluctance, this holding yourself back. So many reasons go into this. So many different factors will lead somebody to the point at which they have this hesitation and reluctance with picking up the phone. Part of it is just the human ego. Like I said, it doesn't want to be harmed. It wants to keep us safe. I've talked about this many times before. And of course, we are a tribal society and it doesn't want us to look bad, feel bad, be wrong. And ultimately, it wasn't that long ago where if you screwed up with the tribe or in the tribe, your local tribe, they would kick you out of the tribe. And then you'd be left on your own against the elements of nature and you would die, right? You do not make it on your own out in the wilds. not that long ago. Now, our current society is not that place. Anybody who's watching or listening to this has enough resources where you that's not going to be an issue. You're not going to be kicked out of your tribe or kicked out of society or banished from the country because you get rejected or make some sales calls, right? Unless you're just lying and stealing and doing it like in a criminal way. But for most everyone watching this, it's not going to happen. But our brain doesn't know that. Our brain still thinks that's going to happen. It thinks it's still out on the plains as a nomadic tribe, and you screw up enough times, they're going to kick you out. They're just going to tie you to a tree and leave you behind. Literally, it happens. If you don't believe me, read the book Sapiens. And it talks about tribes that still, at least at the time when he wrote that book, still practice that. It's crazy. I won't get into the details, but you read that and go, that's literally what's going on in our brain subconsciously. That's what we think about. So there's part of that. There's also part based on your upbringing, based on what happened as you're a child. We've all faced rejection. That time when we raised our hand in class and we gave the wrong answer and everyone laughed at us, or we did a presentation in front of the class because we had to and people laughed at us, or it went wrong or whatever. That time that we called somebody to try to ask them out on a date. If you're old enough like me, where there was no email, there's no text. It was you had to call or write a note or ask them in person and they said no. And then like, you don't want to pick up the phone next time because of that. Again, going back to the first question, that PTSD that comes up where it's just like, oh, that sucked. Right. And I don't want to experience that again. Why would I want to feel pain again? And it's easier to do nothing than to risk what might end up being painful, right? I'd rather take the safe way. And I talk about this a lot with our comfort zone and the fact that we want to stay safe. We want to stay outside of our comfort zone is change. It's danger. It's potential death. It's better to just stick with what we know. What we know is who we know and who we talk to. It is not picking up the phone and making cold calls or reaching out to people or calling someone as a follow-up that we haven't heard from to see if they're interested in signing up with us and facing that rejection. Our mind does not want any part of that. It literally wants no part of that. So you have to push yourself. Now, again, there's certain personalities out there, the kind of people who enjoy making prank phone calls, that personality type, right? They like that. They like some level of confrontation. They're confident enough that they can roll through whatever. They understand that that doesn't matter. Like those things aren't going to harm or affect them and they're okay with it. Those people actually tend to end up in sales because they don't have that hesitation and reluctance to making calls. Now, the trade-off is those people don't necessarily like systems and processes and sometimes are the more reckless salespeople because they will just say anything and do anything and might not be setting the right expectations, might not be telling the truth, and might not be selling in a way that's actually helping other people. And so there's a trade-off. Again, that's a topic for a whole another session that I could be doing. And the training that I do for some of my clients, we go through that so people understand where they fit in that behavior matrix and then how to leverage their strengths in order to be effective in sales. For most everybody else, you have that hesitation. Doesn't mean sales isn't for you. It just means you got to figure out where that's coming from and how do you overcome that. Here's the biggest thing. Here's one of the best ways to shift that mindset. One is awareness, like I said, about what happened in your past and separating that from now, right? And separating the subconscious desire to avoid pain and embarrassment in many levels from what's reality. What's the truth? If I make this cold call and they say no, will I get kicked out of the tribe? Will I do this? No, most likely if I don't make this call and I don't close these deals, I'm going to be without a job and then I'm going to have financial issues. That's even more scary and that should motivate me, right? So there's all of that. Here's the biggest thing. In my experience, especially with people who are hesitating with picking up the phone, is they don't believe in the value of what they're selling and they don't see that as worth it to do the outreach, to basically interrupt somebody and maybe be an inconvenience and maybe be rejected. We've all met people in our lives or seen them on TV shows, movies, whatever, where they are basically an evangelist for whatever it is that they have, right? Maybe it's that tech founder who feels like they've created the biggest thing and they will tell everyone and everyone they talk to, everywhere they go, they are basically just shouting about this thing because they think it has so much value to the marketplace and to individuals that they want everyone to know and they don't care. They don't care what people say. They don't care what people think. they're just going to do, right? You think of someone like Elon Musk, like him or dislike him. If you look at what he's done with Tesla, with his space program, with different things like that, where it's like, he does not care. He's going to go for it and it doesn't matter. He's just going to keep pushing forward. When you realize that what you're selling on behalf of your company or for yourself, if you're your own business, is that has value to your customers, you will reduce that hesitation. And if you want to take it one step further, here's the best thing you can do. And I even wrote this as a chapter in Selling with Authentic Persuasion to help as well, which is, what is the worst case scenario if they don't sign up? Now, most people are selling something that's not life or death. However, if it has actual value and it has actual impact, if they don't sign up with you, there is some alternative path, right? Some multiverse process that could happen where they then go down this other path in life and this happens, right? So if you're selling something that's like saving somebody money, then what happens is they don't sign up with you. They don't save money, right? Like I'm helping a company right now who's doing debt relief and different programs like that to help people avoid bankruptcy. Well, if they don't sign up for that, maybe they go file for bankruptcy. Then what happens? Because they have bankruptcy, they have bad credit. Then they got to pay more for insurance and they have trouble renting. And then this happens and that happens. And it's 7 to 10 years of just painful, painful time until they recover from the bankruptcy. If they do, sometimes people can't and they have to file another bankruptcy and it's like on this endless loop. I know that's the case. I've seen it so many times, which means working with this company, working with a sales team for anything like that, there's absolutely no hesitation in dialing because I know I'm there to help you. And again, it doesn't have to be that. It could be business to business. If you know that somebody will be better off by working with your company, by signing up with you, by getting your help as their guide, again, getting up the mountain successfully, then you owe it to everybody you can talk to every single day to help move them forward for them. Remember, sales is service. It's what I talked about in the beginning. And so you're doing it for them. And when you're doing it for them, then it's not about you. And when it's not about you, picking up the phone is not an issue because now you're going into it to help other people, no matter what you're selling. You could be helping people sign up for cheaper energy, like providers or different cable internet. Doesn't matter. If it's valuable and it's going to help someone and it could help the right people, you owe it to them. And when you do that, it's not about you, right? This is no longer about you and your fears and your hesitations and what you got in the way of you picking up that phone and why you're not doing it or sending that email or sending that text or moving people towards an appointment or signing the contract. It's no longer about you. It's about them. You're doing it for them. And when you make that shift, you then also realize that if you don't help people buy, if you don't help companies, if you don't help individuals, then you've actually failed them, right? You failed them in a way that you could have helped them because you didn't help them, because you didn't pick up the phone. And so if you want to make that shift, right? And again, notice none of this is about you need to focus on how much money you want to make and I want to do all that because that's important also, right? That's why the vision board is so key because when you create that vision board, you can see what you want and that will help you. But that will only help you so much, right? Because you can say, I just won't buy that house or I won't go on that vacation, right? Those things are good in some instances, kind of push you over the edge. But fundamentally, you want to understand, I want to pick up the phone because I want to help people. If someone says no, that's okay. As long as I know I did my best, let me just go on. Let me try to find the people who can help. And I'm just going to keep dialing. I'm going to keep having conversations. I'm going to keep getting better and better every day. And I'm going to keep moving forward. So hopefully that helps. Just take all of that, add the vision board into it. If you have that call reluctance, change it to call excitement, where you're just excited and looking forward to picking up the phone, sending emails, reaching out to people, and moving them forward. So hopefully that helps. Again, if you want to get that Overcoming Objections ebook, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Also, I mentioned the Vision Board Challenge. If you go to jasoncutter.com, which is my hub for everything, and I just redid it. So if you haven't been there in the last couple of months, go to jasoncutter.com. It's now set up for salespeople and sales professionals, and then also a different side for leaders and business owners. So I kind of made it a choose your own adventure kind of mode where it just kind of separates and you can find what you're looking for easier. Make sure to check that out because there's the vision board challenge on there as well, which is a 4-part email and video series that you can get. Just sign up for, you'll get those and it will help you understand why and how to create a vision board. It's really easy. Most people know what a vision board is, but a lot of people don't understand like why it's so important and how to build it in a way that you can use as a tool to help you in sales. Because sales is not easy. It's full of rejection. Even if you're amazing, you're being told no more than yes. So you've got to put lots of things in place to help you in your mindset. So that's it for today's session, session 33. Thanks for tuning in, joining. Again, make sure if you haven't yet, go to YouTube and find the Jason Cutter YouTube channel and subscribe there so you can get the videos. Make sure if you haven't, depending on where you're watching or listening to this, go and find the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast everywhere that podcasts are sold and check that out. And for everyone tuning in, I appreciate you being part of my journey and my goal to shift sales from being a dirty word to something the world trusts and respects, all while helping you close more deals and make more money. Until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders. Take care and have a great weekend.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.